Hey everyone, welcome to The Geek Awakens, where the talk is geekier than replacing your entire Christmas music library with Shatner Claus. Joining me tonight is Matt.
Hello.
Tabitha.
Hi.
And Lydia.
Hi.
We may get a picket later on, we don't know, we're still kind of waiting for that, and obviously I'm Mitch. So, maybe not obviously? I don't know, whatever. As I had brought up with the group earlier today, it was reminded to me by my roommate last night that Shatner Claus was a thing. We had talked about this, probably about a month or so ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to it a lot today.
But why?
You're about to find out why.
Oh, no.
So, I'm going to play just a couple of samples. The first one, now, it's mostly, you know, like covers of classic Christmas songs. Here's a little bit of Feliz Navidad. It's featuring Danny Bander. And this is, like I said, off the album Shatner Claus. It's by William Shatner. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, that one had the full-on, like, Shatner comma, like,
right.
In the Feliz Navidad.
So, there is one original song on this album.
I'm terrified.
It's called One For You, One For Me. yeah. Again, not going to listen to the whole thing, just a little snippet of it. And this one is, it's not in the middle of the song, but it's in a little bit. Just take a listen here.
Is it snowing over there? Are the fires burning bright?
This is mildly terrifying.
Are the doors adorned with wreaths of gold? And candles warm to stay the night? Is there singing in the halls? Are there dinners being made? Is the sky above ablaze with stars? And sacred music being played.
That's gotta be enough. That's gotta be enough.
It's kind of Christmas Carol-ish. Like, I feel like...
I just saw Christmas Carol. I can attest that is nothing like Christmas Carol.
I mean, I get the whole, like, Bob Marley... Or Yep. It's definitely a Bob Marley vibe.
I'm the ghost of Christmas past, Mom.
Okay, Mom.
That was bad.
Oh,
yes, I'm sorry.
That was terrible.
Wow. Never mind. Forget I said anything.
So
I will never like Christmas again. Thanks, so, yeah. William Shatner.
Shatner Claus, available now on all streaming platforms, and I'm sure it's available on physical album as well.
If you could buy those anywhere.
True.
If you would want to.
I mean,
I might.
You can't get it at Best Buy anymore. They don't sell CDs.
That made me really sad when I heard that.
They don't.
Yeah. So, one last little bit of music to listen to.
No more Shatner, please.
This was something that I actually saw just before you guys got here, and I put it on our Facebook page. I'm going to let you listen to it first before I explain what we're listening to. No peeking.
Sorry.
They tried to get rid of me, but from ocean to ocean, they gonna have to deal with me. I've been overlooked, slept on, stepped on, left for dead, always against all odds, like Pac said. I'm the living great Gatsby, but these words are wetting quick and disappear like Banksy. From ocean to ocean, sea to sea, I'm something that you gotta see.
There There is no way that that is okay. Like, Weezer covering Toto, yes, I'm good with that. Pitbull sampling Toto?
Just to be real with you, I thought Pitbull was dead. When you said it was Pitbull, I was like, did he say Pimple? Because Pitbull's dead. That's what just went through my head. I did, though. I
mean, maybe that was wishful thinking?
Wow! Hi, Dark Lydia.
Welcome to the party.
So, God, that sounds like it belongs on a soundtrack for Bad Boys back in the 90s.
Nope, that's a soundtrack for Aquaman. It makes me slightly less excited for Aquaman, not gonna lie.
I mean, you can't be mad at the soundtrack.
Yes, you can.
You can.
Okay, fair. Music is very important.
So this should be a good time.
Be the thing that they play at, like, the credits, after the credits, after the credits.
Oh,
the
man, I hope so.
You know what I mean? Like, where credits are starting to fade, and you're like, oh.
But see...
As long as they don't play it during the movie.
Right. But even still, even with it being during the credits and everything, because of Marvel and, you know, their need for a post-credit scene, yes, I realize Aquaman is DC. But still, Marvel started something that, like, I stick through the credits through most movies these days.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to stay through the credits for Aquaman.
And that song.
And I'm going to have to hear that song.
God, that's disappointing.
In its entirety. Because if they use it in the movie, they'll use a snippet. But if they use it at that end credit scene,
you're going to hear the whole thing. Yeah.
So for your sake, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I hope so. Or if I just don't get around to seeing Aquaman, like, for like a few days or whatever, and I find out that there is no post credit scene, then
you can
just
leave. You can avoid that.
Yeah.
Unpleasant.
So. So, I did it again.
Okay, Brittany.
Thank you. Oops.
So, I forgot to mention that this episode is brought to you by LodgeCon. LodgeCon will be held February 9th and 10th at the Will County Fair Atrium in Piatone, Illinois. Joining LodgeCon this year is the Table for Two show. It features a couple who reviews a different game every month. This show is in its fourth season, so it definitely sounds... It sounds like an interesting show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Also, I feel like you wait to mention LodgeCon until after the stuff that they might like want to not sponsor us for. Like, you don't have a choice anymore.
True. Hashtag forced sponsored. that said, we already had a bunch of stuff to talk about, but I really, really, really wanted you guys to hear that. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question mark.
We're actually going to start with Matt tonight, who's got some info that Tom Holland gave us yesterday.
Yeah, because we know how much he likes to spoil things. It was announced that, Disney and Pixar announced their new movie, which is entitled Onward. Voice talents will be Chris Pratt, Tom Holland, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Octavia Spencer. It's going to hit theaters early in 2020. The little blurb that goes along with it is that this is a story set in a suburban fantasy world. Disney Pixar's Onward introduces two teenage elf brothers who embark on an extraordinary quest to discover if there is still a little magic left out there. Chris Pratt, Tom Holland, Disney, Pixar... magical elves. Yeah, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to actually see some of the art to see what kind of style this ends up being. We've got Toy Story 4 coming next year, and then this will hit early in 2020.
Yep.
So,
I haven't been legitimately excited for Disney Pixar, like for an original Disney Pixar movie. Before it came out for a long time. I think the last Disney Pixar movie that I got excited about was Coco, but even then I didn't really pay attention to it until like everybody else has seen it, and I still haven't seen it. I want to, just haven't gotten around to it. I feel like just from the description and from the cast that's been out so far, like, I'm going to see this in the theaters. Yeah. It sounds fantastic.
I mean, I can already imagine the banter between Holland and Pratt, mm-hmm. like, in this. Like, it's just going to be
this is going to be one of those movies where I know that it's like the animation takes a long time to do, but I feel like it's going to be one of those movies you watch and you're like, how much of this was scripted and how much of these two was ad lib?
Right.
So.
But you know what? I mean, and for as awesome as Chris Pratt and Tom Holland are, like, you can't discredit the other cast members that have announced. I mean, Octavia Spencer is a powerhouse. And then, you know, somebody like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's been around forever, you know, so. But yeah, I'm anxious to hear more about this.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, last week we talked about how, like, we were just, like, giving up hope on an Avengers 4 trailer. And then, like, less than 24 hours later, Marvel was like, here you go.
Like, I woke up to it the next morning, and I was like, we did this. We spoke this. You're welcome, world. You're welcome.
Good job, guys.
Thanks. We do what we can for the good of the people.
And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the trailer itself, because it is a week old at this point. But, like, I feel like they did a fantastic job with the trailer of, at least for me, giving me everything that I wanted without giving me any kind of details of the movie itself, you know? But that said, after the trailer was finally released, so if you haven't seen the trailer, in the very beginning, we see Tony Stark in space, seemingly alone. He's talking with Pepper Potts, or not talking with, but sending a message to her, and basically saying, like, hey, I'm finna die. Not an exact quote, but, you know.
Really? I would never imagine that.
So, after the trailer was released, it prompted a lot of people to get in touch with NASA and be like, hey, save Iron Man. So much so that NASA tweeted. They said, hey, Marvel, we heard about Tony Stark. As we know, the first thing you should do is listen in Mission Control for, quote, Avengers, we have a problem, end quote. But if he can't communicate, then we recommend ground teams use all resources to scan the skies for your missing man.
Did you see Marvel's response to that, though?
I did, but I forgot what they said.
It says, replying to NASA, appreciate any help you can provide. And then, like the praying hands.
Yes, yes.
Didn't someone also say NASA was not helping? They asked Elon Musk for assistance. I think I saw that the other day as well.
That sounds like
they were like, well, NASA didn't do much. How about we talk to Elon?
That's hilarious.
Go get him in your Tesla.
Hey.
It's already up there. It's floating around.
Might as well pick him up.
Catch it in orbit.
I mean, he should still have like an extra seat, right?
And there's already a towel up there, too, so if he needs that.
Bowie's playing Starman, it'll be a good time.
One more last little bit of Avengers news that I forgot to share with you guys, but you've probably seen it anyway. So if you, type in AvengersEndgame.com into your browser, that doesn't take you to a website for the movie. Because Marvel didn't buy that domain. It was actually purchased by somebody with the Twitter account at a guy in chair claims that they bought domain name. They said that they bought it the same day as Avengers Infinity War was released. And what they did was it took you to the website for Once Upon a Deadpool. A guy in chair said that, where was it? Basically, they said that they had, they knew that they gained the information of what the name of the next Avengers movie was going to be. And whether or not they're being honest in that, or if it was just a lucky guess, they still, because they bought two different domain names. They bought that, and then I never saw what the other one was. But...
Well, they had a 50-50 shot of surviving. No?
No. Oh, snap.
Wow! So this is what I was missing last week. I see.
Lily is ready to go home now. Good job, guys.
See you, bye.
We have that effect on people.
He's not wrong.
So, Matt, let's talk about Brian K. Vaughan and his deal with Legendary.
So, as almost as becoming a thing, some of these prolific comic book writers are signing deals with entertainment companies to produce movies, TV shows based on their properties. Brian K. Vaughan is just the most recent. He has signed a 3-year deal with Legendary Entertainment, and they are going to be developing original projects, as well as using some of his creator-owned comics for film, television, and non-traditional platforms. So, obviously, the biggest hope that people have with this announcement is that Saga will come to TV or film in some form. There's no word whether that's actually one of the projects that they have in mind. Brian K. Vaughan has other projects. He has Paper Girls. He has Ex Machina, Barrier. He also is working. He's already working on producing Why the Last Man series for FX. So they haven't announced any particular titles or anything that he's for sure going to be doing with this. But it's a 3-year deal. He's got plenty of ideas and titles out there to work with. So I guess we'll just see further down the line what they end up putting together. But we'll get some Brian K. Vaughan TV and film and whatever non-traditional platforms means. Yes. I'm not sure what that... that the article I found didn't actually expound upon that, so I don't...
It's very open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in a good way.
Like, part of me, like, really hopes that they do something with Saga, but the other part of me knows that if they do a TV show, they will have to edit the holy living crap out of it to make it acceptable to be like, hey, here you go, Netflix.
Maybe, but I mean...
Netflix, Hulu, you know, Amazon Prime, like, there's stuff on there that...
Yeah.
But yes, there are definitely still parts of Saga that would need to be...
Calm down?
Yeah.
Yeah. edited. I've also read Paper Girls, and I think that would be a little almost too Stranger Things at the current time with the popularity of Stranger Things to be used right now, but we'll see. Either way, I'm excited.
So they've got 4 years. Maybe they wait until Stranger Things is done and just piggyback off of it.
Oh.
Because there's what? This season, there's season 3, and then there's what's supposed to be season 4 of Stranger Things.
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. So this gives them time to produce Paper Girls and get it ready so that it would hit 6 months a year when the next Stranger Things would have happened if it wasn't over, you know, at the end of 4.
Yeah.
So maybe. I mean, I'm spitballing here, but...
That makes sense.
One other thing, too, that I did see, something that Vaughn had said, he is also looking forward to the idea of doing possible completely original things with Legendary, which I think would be awesome, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a fantastic track record, and, you know, especially if he goes into whatever project knowing, hey, this is going to be a movie or whatever, he can write it as such.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So... let's go ahead and get into some gut reaction, and we're going to actually start tonight with Tabitha and Kim Possible.
So we got a Kim Possible trailer. We knew it's been coming for a minute, from the original show creators, Mark McCorkle and Robert Shuley. It is going to be a Disney Channel original movie, and this trailer looks hokey and lame, just like a good Disney Channel original movie should. The clip does confirm a 2019 release, but no date or anything. Also, the internet's real mad right now because there's no Naked Mole Rat, there's no Rufus in the trailer. And Kim Possible will not be the same without Rufus. Yeah, exactly. Also, something I didn't know until today when I was looking at things is Allison Hannigan is going to be playing Kim Possible's mom. So I'm going to sign up for AARP tomorrow. And I'm also going to give this a thumb sideways because while it looks hokey and dumb, it looks hokey and dumb in a good way.
Matt.
I missed the point when Kim Possible was a thing. Like, I was older than it was aimed at.
Because that matters.
Well, you know, right?
Says the people sitting around talking about cartoons.
Talking about cartoons. Yeah. Exactly. I have always, like, the part that I've always latched onto is just Ron Stoppable. That name is just phenomenal. But I'm going to go thumb sideways because I kind of don't really have a horse in the race, but it does look kind of fun.
I'm in the same boat as you are, Matt. Like, I've never seen an episode of Kim Possible. I'm sorry.
Can we fire
a table
him
divided?
Yes. Right. But that said, the trailer, Tabitha, you hit the nail on the head. Because at first, like, I was kind of under the impression that it was going to be, like, an actual movie, like, yeah, released in theaters. And I was going to have to be like, thumbs down, probably. But with it being a Disney Channel original movie, yeah, it's exactly what it needs to be. And I'm going to go ahead and give this a thumbs up. So, Lydia.
I'm going to go thumb sideways because, yeah, it can be hokey with it being Disney Channel, but there's just several issues I have, especially like costumes and things like that. I'm very picky about that.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like Kim Possible yet.
No. Mostly because there's no Rufus.
That too.
So, there were a few other trailers that Matt brought up. We're just going to go down them pretty quickly, and I know that we all didn't get a chance to see all of them. I know Lydia didn't get a chance to see any of them. That's fine. It is what it is. But we're going to start with Watership Down. I think the three of us all saw them. Tabitha, what'd you think?
I've been ready for this since they announced it, and now I'm even more ready. I'm going thumbs up.
Matt.
I think it looks awesome. I haven't read it. I definitely am going to make a point to read it before this happens. But it looks really interesting, and I'm definitely on board to see what this is all about. So I'm going to say thumbs up.
Yeah, same. I haven't read it. I own it, and I've started to read it a couple of times, but got sidetracked because it's daunting.
It's a big book.
It's a big book.
A big book about bunnies.
Yes.
Bunnies.
It's basically like the Iliad and the Odyssey, but with rabbits.
It's like a socio.
Okay, can I borrow this book?
Yes, it's like a socio-political statement told in a warren or a rabbit warren instead of on like a grand scale.
That sounds amazing.
It's pretty great.
I'm gonna give this a thumbs up. I am going to admit though, the animation looks a little rough at times, but I think it'll be okay. But yeah, thumbs up. I'm ready for it. James Gunn's Brightburn. Matt, you saw it, right?
I did see it.
Okay, what'd you think?
I didn't know what to think going into this, just based on the headline that I saw, that it was like a dark take on Smallville. And I didn't actually go back and read an article or anything to find out if that's really what this is, or if this is supposed to be something, I don't know, like a different, not just different take, but like, similar story, but different characters.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, yes, it looks super cool. The ending of the trailer is what really got me. That last like little 2-second clip that it ends with, like that was like, yes, I am on board with this. So I'm going to go thumbs up.
You know, for me, I feel like this trailer, and I don't know if the movie as a whole is going to be like this, but I felt like the trailer was a little too on the nose of, you know, exploring what happens if Superman were evil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that allegory or whatever, but like I said, it was too much like it for
too
me.
Much.
So I'm gonna have to give this one a thumbs down. I hate to do it to James Gunn, but hey, it is what it is. Anyway, so Godzilla King of the Monsters. Tabitha, what'd you think of that?
I'm mad at you right now. I secretly love all things Godzilla. I'm one of those kids. So while this doesn't look like I thought it would, I'm still very excited for it. So I'm going thumbs up.
I'm still confused about this movie.
Well, it's a Godzilla movie. You're not supposed to know what's going on.
And I'm probably thinking too much about it. I am giving it a thumb sideways. As much as I love Millie Bobby Brown, does she serve a purpose in this movie other than just to
be a namesake?
Be a namesake and be, you know, the cute kid who's befriending the alien or whatever.
Probably not, but it's a Godzilla movie, Mitch. You gotta stop looking for a plot line.
My bad. last trailer was Umbrella Academy. Matt, what'd you think?
Now, I know we've had a couple of other trailers similar other projects that are in the works that are similar to Umbrella Academy. And I can't really recall what some of the other names are. I know that there's at least one other one that seems along the same vein, you know, kids with powers in a school. But again, this one looks cool. It looks dark. It looks kind of twisted. So I know this was just a teaser. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go thumbs up on the teaser, but on the whole idea, I'm still kind of thumb sideways until we get a little bit more plot details and stuff to go along with it.
Yeah. I am completely, well, not completely ignorant, but like 90% ignorant when it comes to Umbrella Academy as a whole. I don't know much about the property. Based off of the teaser trailer, I thought I'm ready for it. Mm. I definitely want to see it. I'm giving it a thumbs up. Also, like, mostly because, like, I want to know why they skipped number 6. Did you notice that?
No, I did not. But yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Like, when they were, like, showing the characters, yeah. It said number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. And, like, I even went back and rewatched it just to make sure, like, did I miss that?
If I remember correctly, I know why they did that, but it will be a spoiler, so I'm not going to tell you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, I figured we see 6 eventually. You know, like, I'm sure that was done on purpose, but.
Okay. Okay, that's it.
Okay. I don't want to spoil anything. I'm a nice person. Like how all of you look at me like, okay.
I mean,
I'm not saying a word, boss.
Lydia's the only one that survives.
I'm not denying the fact that she's a nice person, only because I don't want to feel her wrath if I say she isn't.
That's justifiable.
It's a quandary.
I feel like he's still saying that you're not a good person.
Yeah, he definitely is. Yeah. Yeah.
So
still forever, Lydia.
So Amy Adams thinks that her time as Lois Lane is done. She also is saying that she thinks that DC movies as a whole are moving into a different direction, which is kind of something that we've kind of talked about in the past. She said this on Variety's Actors on Actors. But yeah, she says she doesn't know any of the details. That's really all that we know. I'm giving this a thumb sideways. I feel like we've been hearing a lot of this kind of stuff about a lot of the different DC actors lately. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I kind of like Amy Adams as Lois Lane, but it doesn't make sense, especially if they go with a different actor portraying Superman. It does not make sense for Lois Lane to be the same either. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah. Lydia.
Thumbs sideways just because I don't really have much basis for anything, because I haven't seen any of the Superman movies recently. I haven't seen Man of Steel or Batman vs. Superman, so I haven't seen her as Lois Lane, so.
Fair. Tabitha.
I'm going thumbs up for not having to ever look at Amy Adams again. I can't stand Amy Adams.
Isn't Tabitha such a nice person?
Yes? No? I don't know. I don't like Amy Adams. I never have. So the less I have to look at her, the better. So thumbs up. Sorry, Amy Adams.
Matt.
You're really not sorry.
I'm not. Never am.
I am just going to go thumb sideways on this just because we don't really know where the DC properties are going. Some of the announced movies that seem to be in development are way offline from what we kind of thought we would be getting as the DCEU moved on or moved forward. So, I don't know. I thought she was fine as Lois Lane, but you know, this whole thing seems to be going in a different direction. And until we kind of get a better beat on that, I'm going to go thumb sideways.
Matt, we're going to stick with you and talk about Ghost in the Shell.
So Netflix continues their, I don't know, reign of terror is not the right term, but they just continue to go full in on anime. They are going to be doing a Ghost in the Shell anime in 2020. It's going to be Ghost in the Shell, SAC_2045. It is going to be directed by the same guy, Kenji Kamiyama, who did the Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. He also did one of the Appleseed properties, which is a fairly well-known
those
anime.
Are good movies.
Yeah. This particular project was actually announced back in 2017, so last year, the same time that the Scarlett Johansson live action was in theaters. But I don't know. Netflix has continued to show that they handle these anime properties well, and they put people behind them that know what they're doing. Ghost in the Shell is hands down one of my favorite anime movies ever. So to get, and I've never seen the live action, but to get more of that, I'm thumbs up on this.
Thumbs sideways for me. Thumbs up if they manage to get Scarlett Johansson for the anime as well.
No argument.
Lydia.
Thumbs up. They've shown that they can do them well, so if they continue to do as well as they have in the past, then it should be good.
Tabitha.
My exposure to Ghost in the Shell is literally just the Scarlett Johansson movie, so I 100% wholeheartedly agree with Mitch. So thumbs sideways, but thumbs up if they get Scarlett Johansson in the anime.
Tabitha, we're going to stick with Netflix and talk about Selena.
Okay, so we're getting a Selena TV show on Netflix, as in Selena, the Tejano music icon who was murdered in the 90s. Okay, anyway. R.I.P. Gone Too Soon, Rotten Hell Yolanda. It's been authorized and will be executive produced by her family and written by Moises Zamora, the writer of American Crime. There's no cast and no date yet, but I'm excited. This is my thing, like the true crime documentary, mockumentary kind of thing almost. We know there's probably not going to be J-Lo, even though she could still do it because she doesn't age. So I'm going thumbs up because I will do anything for Selena.
Matt.
When you first said that, I was like, we already have the movie. Why do we need more of this? But when you said like the true crime aspect of it, like to the movie, if I remember correctly, doesn't really delve into that. Like it's more about her life and how she gets to where she was. And then if I'm not mistaken, the movie basically ends with her death.
Correct.
Oddly enough, like my Spanish high school class took a field trip to go see this in a theater. Like they rented out a theater and played it for a whole bunch of high school Spanish classes.
That seems like a bad idea.
Right. So, but like the whole true crime aspect, that kind of like puts me in a different light for the whole thing. So I'll go thumbs up.
Yeah. Especially for me, just because the fact that it's, authorized or whatever by her family. So we will hopefully get the most accurate, presentation or whatever of what actually happened. So yeah, so for me, thumbs up. Lydia.
Same thumbs up since it's authorized and should be handled well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So sticking with things that are gone too soon, Google Plus is is about to shut down.
Why did you just Shatner your segue?
He's been listening to too much Shatner Claus today.
Real talk, I was worried that was going to be, like, too offensive.
It is true, though. RIP gone too soon. Everyone misses Selena.
True.
Nobody's going to miss Google Plus.
Nope. So, it was announced. So, it was supposed to close down, or shut down, rather, in August. But because of a new vulnerability that impacted over 52 million users, that basically shared the users' names, email addresses, occupations, ages. All of those were exposed to developers, even if the account was set to private. So because of that vulnerability, Google has decided to shut it down in April. It also said that apps could also access profile data that had been shared with a specific user, but was not shared publicly. So, yeah, I got to give this a thumbs up on Google's part. Google Plus never really took off anyway, and especially if they're still having that kind of issues. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, that Google Plus is going to kind of live on. It's going to still be used as an enterprise product for companies that subscribe to the G Suite service. Mm-hmm. So, Lydia.
So, I'm blanking on what Google Plus is, but thumbs up for them being proactive and actually taking care of stuff.
Mm-hmm. It was Google's...
basically, like Google's version of Facebook.
Yeah.
Or okay.
MySpace.
That explains why I have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Tabitha. Thumbs up to Google, because, like you said, this never really took off for them. I remember when it came out, like, the marketing scheme that was behind it, and everybody was like, oh, it's going to be the new thing, and then it just wasn't. Yeah, so, if it's failing and they're willing to kibosh it so quickly, good on them.
Matt.
I'm a little concerned about the fact that Google Plus, like amongst all of these other Google projects, has this vulnerability. Like, mm-hmm. what does that, like, it leads me to wonder about the rest of the Google products. Like,
well, they probably realized this was failing, and they were like, we're just trying to put our security toward other things.
I'm hoping that that's what happened, because, like, Google has a lot of things that are very well integrated. Mm-hmm. And Google Plus was supposed to be part of that integration. You were supposed to be able to, you know, email and, you know, share things, like, seamlessly from all of those different platforms. But that security issue, like, good on them. So, thumbs up for realizing there's an issue and shutting it down. Thumbs down on the questionability and how this relates to the rest of the Google world.
Yeah. Especially since I use Google Play Music, I really hope that, like, advertisers don't see how much I've listened to Shatner Claus.
You should hope no one sees that.
You did admit it on air. You've made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Dang it. Matt, let's talk Doom.
You just did.
Yeah.
So John Romero, creator of Doom and part of Romero Games, has announced that as part of the 25th anniversary of Doom, they are releasing they're calling it a free Megawad. Right.
Poor choice of words.
Yeah, that's what the article says. So I'm
we
just
need
going,
to be adults.
Going with
that's no fun.
Too late. basically what it is, it's called Sigil, but it is comprised of 18 new levels, 9 for single player, 9 for deathmatch for the original Doom. So they are releasing new levels for the 1993 version. Players that have registered the original version will be able to download those and be able to play them. You'll also be able to buy them. There's 2 limited edition box sets. The standard edition is $40. The Beast Box is $166. Seems like a lot.
The Megawad Beast Box.
Is the Megawad in the Beast Box?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh my god.
That's what I was concerned about. I broke Mitch. What was that about being adults?
It's never gonna happen.
I can't even
You broke that.
Because now what I'm gonna talk about just sounds even worse.
Carry on.
So one of the things that's in the box with the Megawad. I knew everybody wanted me to say it again, so I thought I'd appease the masses. Is a 16 gig, 3.5-inch floppy disk themed USB. I feel like I'm going to be really judged very badly when I say that I think the idea for this whole thing is cool, so I'm going to go thumbs up. Let's just move on. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Our immaturity aside, this does seem really cool, so I'm going to give this a thumbs up. Lydia.
Yep. Thumbs up.
Tabitha.
Thumbs up.
So.
I hate you guys.
So a study that was published in the Medical Journal of Australia has said that James Bond has a severe alcohol use disorder.
Surprise!
Yeah.
This is news.
Right?
Yeah. So the study authors found that during all the times that we've seen James Bond on screen, he's drank 109 times. His most excessive outing was in The Quantum of Solace, where he drank 6 Vespers and raised his blood alcohol level to approximately 0.36 grams per deciliter. And that was enough to kill some people. So,
but he's James Bond, so it didn't kill him.
So his
poisoned it.
So his actions, which include binge drinking, driving after drinking, fighting after drinking, having sex after drinking, and operating nuclear machinery after drinking satisfies more than half of the American Psychiatric Association's DSM-5 criteria for alcohol use disorder. I'm glad that nuclear machinery operation is included in one of those movies.
I feel like that's one of those, like, the directions are on the box because you know that somebody tried that.
Right. Yeah. And even though the study was intended to be fun, the authors concluded that he should seek professional help and try to find other strategies for managing occupational stress. Yeah, thumbs up, because I think we all knew this anyway. Lydia.
Sure, thumbs up.
Tabitha.
Things that are not surprising about James Bond. Also, he's James Bond. He doesn't get drunk.
Yeah.
It's not how his blood alcohol. This is how James Bond works. I'm real sorry. Thumbs up, but also thumb sideways, because who paid these people to do this?
Who pays a lot of people to do a lot of things?
Why wasn't it us to sit and watch these James Bond movies and count the
number of times? I can do math. Well, I can science. I can do these things.
It was a competition that was held by the Medical Journal of Australia. So who knows if they even got paid for it.
They got paid for it.
Matt.
I mean, in all reality, 109 times in 24 movies is not that much.
Like Friday.
It's like five drinks in a two-hour movie, which really isn't that bad. I mean, five drinks in 2 hours, maybe.
I drank more than that playing Hocus Pocus drinking game.
But five times in a two-hour movie, it's not that big of a deal. And yes, it's James Bond, so I don't even know where to go with this. It's James Bond, so thumbs up.
So the last story for Gut Reaction, this was something that that I saw a few days ago. So Reddit user B-Boy Jovi had a kind of an interesting story. He was playing Smash Brothers Ultimate with some friends, and things got a little bit loud, got a little bit rowdy, and noise complaints were made, and cops were called. Cops showed up, realized that it was just kids playing games, and so the cops played Smash with the kids.
Yes!
Yes. So, according to B-Boy Jovi, or Hovi, I don't know. J-O-V-I.
Mm.
It could be either way. Anyway. so he said that two of the officers played, but claimed not to know what Smash was, but they seemed to be really good at playing with Pikachu. So, anyway, thumbs up to the cops. Absolutely, that's awesome. Lydia.
This is amazing. I love this. Because there's so much nowadays that, oh, they're making noise even though they're just having fun. I'm going to call the cops and get them arrested, blah, blah, blah. So for the cops to show up and be like, hey, can I have the controller? Like, that is amazing to me. And if they can play with Pikachu, they knew what they were doing. Like, don't lie. But thumbs up. This is amazing.
Deb.
Yeah, I agree. There's not 1 second that makes me think they didn't know what they were doing. But thumbs up for these cops for being good sports.
Matt.
Yeah, definitely thumbs up for the cops being good sports and doing this. There were videos a while back that showed up online of these cops that showed up. These kids were playing basketball in the middle of the street. And the cops showed up and they ended up playing basketball with these kids. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that needs to happen. Like, not everywhere, really. Just to have that kind of interaction and to realize, to show kids not to be afraid of cops.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I absolutely thumbs up.
So, all right. So, we are going to real quick talk about Quincredible number 2. It's coming out from Lionforge. It'll come out next week. So, let's not get too spoilery. And I know that Matt and Tabitha also got a chance to read it. This, for me, is starting to be a really fun series. it's kind of like what we talked about last month with the first issue. Because it's an origin story, but not really. Like, we're a little bit into his origin, but we're still learning more about how he becomes a superhero. Also, I am loving the little Easter eggs and hints to other properties in Catalyst Prime, because like I've said before, like that's not something that we get with a lot of the other titles.
No.
And so it's nice to see, to have something that kind of is bringing the others into, you know, bringing the others together or whatever. Tabitha, what'd you think?
This is what I really like about this is it's very on topic with politically without being in your face about it. I really appreciate that. Also, where has this teenage hero been my whole life that doesn't annoy me like Peter Parker? Like, come on. And there's this super creative scene where he does finally get his first experience at catching the bad guys. And I loved that scene. Like, that was incredibly creative and entertaining. And I can't wait to see... Like, I feel like that's like a precursor for the way he's going to continue to catch bad guys. And that makes me happy.
This whole series, yet again, just another home run by Lionforge in being able to do these stories in a way that's different and not contrived. You know, everything's interesting and still fresh. Just, you know, again, like I said, just one more Lionforge series that I'm just 100% in on. I think this is awesome. And everything that they're doing about it. Plus, being part of the Catalyst Prime universe and being aimed at a little bit younger crowd, you know, to get kids reading comic books, reading just in general, which will then in turn pull them into, you know, the other titles that they've got. It's awesome.
Yeah. So, all right. So, we've got a little bit of time left. Let's move on. Tabitha? Let's talk about Jason Momoa for a second.
Someone call the police. I'm very mad at Jason Momoa.
Because he got Pitbull to be on the soundtrack for no. Aquaman? What?
I can deal with Pitbull.
Because he bases his characters on heavy metal songs?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm Jason Momoa and I have broken up. We're done. We're over. We're calling it quits.
That must make Lin-Manuel Miranda very happy.
It does. He's very happy about it. We had a conversation. It's fine. During an appearance on Good Morning America, Amber Heard shared that Jason Momoa is a monster. Because Amber Heard is a bibliophile. She's a bookworm of the highest order. She's always been very vocal about that. I think it's amazing. But on set for filming Aquaman, if Amber wasn't paying attention to Jason Momoa, he would rip out the pages of her book. She was hanging in, like, the green scene kind of situation, and they had, like, actually fashioned a bag for her to put her book in. So she could be up there and be like, oh, I'm...
In between takes.
Yeah, and then she could put the book back in the bag and whatever. And she would go to pull the book out of the bag, and he would have ripped out the last 30 pages of a book she had been reading. Jason Momoa would not exist.
He would be murdered.
Correct. What an animal. Like, what kind of animal does that to someone? I'm unhappy.
That's not okay. No. Like, as much as...
And he was, yeah. He's a big, playful dude, and I get it, but...
That's crossing
the
line.
You rip the last 30 pages out of a book that I've been investing time in while hanging in the air in a harness uncomfortably trying to read. I'm going to kill you.
When you get down.
Yes.
If you get down.
But who does that? Who does that?
Okay, that's not okay.
Yeah. I mean, especially with it's just the simple fact, like, that's destructing somebody else's personal property.
Right. And I mean, I hope he bought her replacement books.
And plus, like, what if she'd gotten that from the library? I mean, granted, like, you know, she probably doesn't get books from the library because...
She's Amber Heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But...
Okay, along those same lines, what if it's something that somebody special had given to her?
Yeah. It was like...
Yeah. Right.
A gift.
Yeah.
Also, if I'm 30 pages from the end of the book, I don't care if that was the worst book of my life, I'm finishing that book. If I have to go rebuy a new copy to finish the last 30 pages, because this happened to me once when I was about 20 pages from the end of a book and my dog ate it, I had to go rebuy a copy. He did it in the middle of the night. I had to wait till the next day. I was not happy. I would kill him.
I think we've covered that already.
Well, at that point, though, why didn't you just read the last 20 pages or whatever at Barnes & Noble and then not buy the book?
because I had invested all that time. It was a very long book, part one. I had invested all of that time in said book. When I finished it, I wanted to put it back where it belonged.
Oh, I was under the impression that you didn't like the book.
Oh, no, I liked the book.
Okay. Much, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why I wanted to finish the last 20 pages of a very long book.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough. Mm. So if it was a book that you had read that far into but didn't like, then would you have just, like...
I'd be like, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. I probably would have gotten on the internet and been like, hey, can someone tell me what happened? Okay, that's fine.
You'd be the guy that I saw at Barnes & Noble, like, last week, and he walked up to the table, sat down with one book, read for a while, got up, left, came back with a different book, read that one for a while, put that one back, and then left.
It's the Choose Your Own Adventure in Barnes & Noble.
I'm like, they have places you can do that, dude. It's called a library.
Barnes & Noble's worth reading it. Yeah. And they have coffee.
Might and smell they better. Have newer books.
That people haven't touched, because that grosses me out really bad.
So, Matt, let's talk about Anthem.
So, the big thing with Anthem is, I mean, it's another first-person shooter that everybody is kind of gung-ho, ready for it to come out, see what the hype is all about, see whether it's worth it. The long story here is that when you get into a beta... and you have to sign an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, maybe, just maybe, actually stick to the NDA. Because if you don't, and you get caught, you can lose a lot of things. This one particular guy broadcast some of his Anthem beta testing on Twitch. BioWare found out, and they wiped out his entire Origin game library. So, all of his EA games that he had downloaded, saved, played, whatever, and obviously, if you're a gamer, and you're a gamer enough to get into these types of, well, actually, this was an alpha, it wasn't even a beta. These types of testing situations, like, you have quite the library of games. And, very quickly they just wiped out his entire library because he was broadcasting on Twitch.
He should have known better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, especially if it is something that you sign. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, I realize, like, how many things have we signed that we didn't read all the... You know,
too many.
It's like the biggest lie on the internet.
Right. Yes, I read the terms in agreement.
Right. I definitely never read the terms in agreement.
No.
But still, like, yeah. Even if you didn't, like, I feel like something for that, I would like to think that if I were to sign an NDA for anything, I would at least skim it. Mm-hmm. Be like,
yeah, absolutely.
Hey, can I at least get the bullet points? Like, what? Right. You know. And also, even still, even if you don't, non-disclosure means you don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, think of it as being on a jury.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that EA and BioWare may restore those games back to his Origin account, but
files are going to be gone.
Right. I mean, they haven't actually, like, said anything in regards to the situation. Pretty much all of it's come from this guy and his... his own personal account, basically going, yep, I did this and now it's gone. So basically follow the advice that I should have followed and don't break your NDA.
Yeah. So, we have time for one last story, and I don't really want to talk about it, but we're going to talk about it.
Uh-oh.
Tabitha, yeah. just get it over with.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay.
It must be bad if he's not wanting to talk
about
it.
He's been very upset with me since I posted this story.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm real sorry, everybody. Novelty brand Archie McPhee's released mac and cheese flavored candy canes a while back. And not to be outdone by themselves, they have now released clam flavored candy canes.
And what are they called?
Clamdy canes. You can get them for $5.95 a box on their website. And the tagline of them is they're a candy clamity.
Oh my gosh.
And while I'm sure they're disgusting, that's why I think so good. And they are clam colored.
Of course so they are.
Beautiful gray.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as I was having my manicure done this evening before I got here, I picked out my color and then I sat down and as she started to clean it, I thought, oh, my nails look like a clam decane. And I left. And she had no idea why. So my nail tech thinks I'm losing my mind, but really I was just thinking about clam decanes. And I looked, and at the time I looked, they were sold out, or I was going to buy you some for Christmas. Oh.
Darn. Darn.
I know you're real upset about it. I mean, I'm kind of tempted on the mac and cheese ones, because I'm just like, I wonder, maybe.
Like, I am a candy cane traditionalist. If you, actually, if you look at my cupboard right now, you'll find boxes of candy canes on the top shelf. Don't judge about the other stuff that's in there.
All I see is tea and brownies, so yeah. I'm not going to judge you.
But I love regular candy canes. There are even candy canes on my pajama pants right now. I eat candy canes year round. Not even going to lie. Not like consistently, but like.
So do you just keep them from Christmas just all year long?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll buy at least one box like right after Christmas to, you know, maintain my stock. Anyway. All that said, I don't really like different flavors of candy canes, especially candy canes that taste like clams. That sounds disgusting.
But you don't know until you try it, Mitch.
I'm pretty sure this is one of those things that you don't need to try to know they're gross.
I
had an Oreo flavored one today.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be. It tasted more like a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. See, I've seen the Oreo ones, and I'm... Those, like, I like Oreos, I like candy canes, I don't think that I would like an Oreo-flavored candy cane.
One great.
So, in this article that Tabitha shared with us, Food Beast got a chance to try this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They said that they, quote, instantly regretted it. So,
I mean, as one would.
Which kind of goes back to what you were saying, like, you know, of how you tried to buy a box. See... If you were to have done that, I would have tried it for the sake of trying it. Much like with the mac and cheese. I would try the mac and cheese one. It'd still be weird. But see, like, I don't think that I would be able to finish an entire one. Like, it'd have to be like, give me a piece of it, and then you could have the rest.
Well, I was going to give it to you, like, unwrap it, hand it to you, and let you just lick it and throw it in the trash.
Oh, but still.
I mean, I wasn't going to make you eat the whole cake. I'm not a monster. Like, I wasn't going to be like, Mitch, you eat this clam cake.
Oh, no. If I was going to have to eat one, you all would have had to eat one.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe.
In that case, I'm really glad that you couldn't buy them.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of upset. Mostly I'm upset because of the wonderful color. They are a festive color of clam.
Gray and white.
Like dirty, slushy snow.
Yeah. Oh.
Dirty, slushy clam guts.
That too.
So, not silver and gold. But gray and white. Silver, it's a Christmas song, okay? It'll be on Shatner Claus 2.
God, I hope that's never a thing.
The next frontier.
Wow.
But not the final one.
Just the next one. I mean, he's getting kind of old. It might be the final one. I'm not wrong. The man's not a spring chicken, guys.
He's like the rooster on Mulan after he gets fried by Mushu. I guess that was a hawk, but still.
That's all I'm going to think of when I see William Shatner now. Good job, Lydia.
You're welcome.
Why do we always get to like these like awful conversations on weeks when we were sponsored by LodgeCon? LodgeCon is coming to you February 9th and 10th at the Will County Fair Atrium in Piatone, Illinois. And that is going to wrap it up for us. We'll be back next week. We should be back next week. We're kind of planning everything out, but next week will be our end of year episode, so that'll be exciting. In the meantime, check us out on Facebook and Twitter, where we'll be posting news throughout the week. While you're there, give us some feedback and tell us what cool stuff we're missing out on. Also, on Monday, I've got a special interview that I'm going to post, so be on the lookout for that. It'll be with Kevin Klein from Blue Coat Arms Company. And then also be sure to listen to 217radio.com for the best music of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From all of us here at The Geek Awakens, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll be back next week. Everybody say bye.
Bye. Bye.